The Dallas Stars took two tough losses over this weekend. Today, I'll cover what went wrong in the game against Boston, how the Stars' comeback fell just short in Ottawa, and what the team needs to do to improve from here on out for the rest of the season. We'll talk about all of this and a little more on today's Locked On Stars.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Howdy, Stars fans. Welcome back to the Locked On Stars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Dane Lewis. It is Monday, October 18th, and I'm so glad that you were able to join me on today's episode of Locked On Stars. Whether you are a recurring listener or a first-time listener, thank you for stopping by, and thank you for making Locked On Stars your first listen of the day. I encourage you to subscribe and follow the show wherever you get your podcasts at, as well as on YouTube. It's absolutely free. It helps out the network a ton, helps me out a ton, so we can continue to bring you great NHL content throughout this season. Jumping right into today's show, we have quite a bit to talk about with Dallas playing two games over the weekend, game one of those being on Saturday against Boston at the TD Garden in Boston, and then on Sunday against the Ottawa Senators in the capital of Canada. And starting with kind of our first segment, talking about the Boston game recap, definitely the worst game of the two that happened this weekend. Both games are bad in the sense that the Stars lost. There's definitely less good to pull out from this game, and ultimately was dominated by the Boston Bruins pretty much from the start of the first period till the end of the third, if you ask me. And I feel like if you ask most people who watched that game, but Dallas did fall short to Boston 3-1, really kind of 2-1. The last goal was scored in the last minutes, an empty netter with Dallas trying to have a man advantage, and then Brad Marchand putting in the puck to seal the game for the Boston Bruins. But nonetheless, Dallas unable to capitalize at the end, and Marchand took advantage of that to give Boston the comfortable 2-goal win. And I think a lot of the team's flaws were shown on Thursday night. As though Dallas won on Thursday, it was not a perfect outing by any means. And I know we talked about that on Friday's episode. A lot of things that Dallas still needs to work on, as is the case with any team in any sport after their first game of the season. But Dallas found a way to win despite those flaws on Thursday. However, on Saturday, I think we saw what happens when you make those two same mistakes and when you make too many of those mistakes against a quality team. And I think Boston is a really quality team this season with a good chance to make a deep playoff run and potentially make a Stanley Cup Finals appearance. I don't think that that is out of the realm of possibility for the Boston Bruins. But Boston absolutely dominated this game from start to finish. And, you know, they gave the hometown fans a lot to cheer about with it being their first game of the season, their home opener. And obviously expectations riding high with the offensive threats that they have. And they just signed Charlie McAvoy to a new contract extension. And I felt so dumb because I had recorded the episode on Thursday night for Friday. And it was like, oh, Boston's going to sign McAvoy at some point, most likely, but we don't know when. And then I wake up on Friday morning and sure enough, they signed him to a deal. So I was a little late to the party, or I guess early, late. I don't know, but kind of felt dumb because I didn't get to report on it. But I'm sure you saw Charlie McAvoy has been re-signed by Boston. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked talking about the Boston Bruins. But yeah, Dallas really started this game pretty slow and came out really, really flat. A pretty bad start. Hopefully we don't see too many more starts like this in the season. But they didn't really even record a shot at all, shot on goal or just a shot in general until about 6 minutes into the game. Ryan Suter finally put up a shot that went wide of the net. That was most of Dallas's shots in the first period, which wasn't very many, but a lot of them weren't even on goal. A lot of them went wide, and it took 6 minutes for us to even get one of those. And Ryan Suter was the one that had to do it. It wasn't even one of our forwards. It was someone shooting from the blue line. And so it was just really kind of disheartening to see the Dallas offense come out so flat. But it carried over kind of to the rest of the game, despite it picking up a little bit in the second and third period. But especially the first period, they were outshot 17-5, and they ended up getting outshot throughout the whole game, 40-28. And so, I think it's fine to get outshot in an NHL game, but to be outshot by 12 goals, and 17-5, in the first frame is just unacceptable. I feel like I can understand giving up a lot of shots, but if you're going to give up a lot of shots, you have to return the favor and put up a lot of shots, on your own. But, Dallas just was not able to do that. But however, they led the game in just about every other statistical category. They won in faceoffs, which is something that Dallas has been good at over the past few years, and I think are going to be good at this year, especially with some of their offseason additions with guys like Glendinning and Raffel, penalty killers, but also guys that, you know, that are effective in the faceoff circle. Blocked shots, Dallas led in that. They led in takeaways, but they couldn't really capitalize. Miro Heiskanen was really the only guy that kind of played well, besides Luke Glendinning, who's netted the only goal for Dallas on a nice shot. I'll give Glendinning that. It was a really nice shot that he was able to get by the goalkeeper for Dallas, Swayman, or excuse me, Boston. Swayman hit the goalkeeper now that Rask is gone from Boston. They have a new goalkeeper kind of looking to take goalkeeper number one reps. But Miro Heiskanen did have a really solid night and was kind of the only bright spot, again, besides Glendinning. He had three takeaways and skated the most minutes for any Dallas Star player with 28 minutes. Good to see that he's continuing to, you know, get a lot of minutes in and continue to try to be a factor for Dallas, even if it's not necessarily with goals, just trying to produce and be a contributor to this team, even though the guys on the team didn't seem to really be returning the favor. And Dallas was really, they just suffered from a lot of really dumb mistakes. One of the big ones coming at the end of the first period when Ryan Suter interfered with Brad Marchand on a breakaway that resulted in Marchand, you know, he didn't score then, but he got a penalty shot that he scored on, got the puck past Braden Holtby, and gave Boston the lead going into the break, which was just unfortunate because, I mean, even though Dallas wasn't necessarily shooting well, they were getting a lot of stops on the defensive end. And I think it, I don't know if they would have won the game per se, but I think the game might have ended a little differently had the momentum not been fully in Boston's favor going into the first intermission, because not only did they score, but just the way they scored with it being off a penalty and Marchand just getting a nice, easy look at the goal. I mean, he's such a talented offensive player that we talked about on Friday, and as good as Braden Holtby has been in this young season and preseason, I mean, Marchand isn't going to blow many of those opportunities, no matter who's in the net. And so just super unfortunate that that happened. And another Dallas error was just their ineffectiveness on the power play, which when I was writing the script, I was hoping that I could, you know, say that it got better in Ottawa, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, the ineffectiveness on the power play continues to be an issue so far, three games into the season, and Boston committed seven penalties. So you can't say that Dallas did not have their opportunities on the power play. They had 14 minutes of power play opportunities, almost, I mean, 6 minutes shy of a whole period's worth of power play opportunities, 5-on-4 action, yet Dallas went 0-for-6 on the power play. Again, you just can't expect to win hockey games if you're going to have that many opportunities to have the power play and to not even get one or two of those or execute on those. And you just can't have that, and you can't expect to win or be competitive in hockey games without that. I mean, you can't go 0-for-6 with six opportunities at the power play. You just can't do it. You're not going to find success. Any NHL team, I don't care who you are or how talented your team is, you have to execute if you're going to get that many power play opportunities. Like I said earlier, Glendinning gave Dallas their only goal of the night. Nice to see him make a play, and we'll talk about a little later in the Ottawa game, Michael Raffel making an impact. It's nice to see these two young guys who I talked about last week kind of saying that they weren't ready to be the spotlight or the guys, you know, taking control of the offense, but they've kind of stepped into that role, and they've been some of the more effective guys and been contributing, which they are veterans and they have been around the league for a while. And, you know, I think that they're just using their veteran expertise on this new team. And but we as good as those guys have been in these games, I just don't think the recipe for success for the Dallas Stars is having Luke Glendinning and Michael Raffel being like the guys on offense. We have to have our bigger names step up. And while those guys are valuable, I mean, at the end of the day, they're guys that come off the bench and they're role players. And if they can score when they're coming off the bench, that's great. But that needs to be complemented with our starting guys getting shots on goal or finding the net, like Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, Joe Pavelski, Alexander Radulov. Those guys need to get it going to pair with, you know, those other guys that come off the bench. And that's how this team will find success. And overall, the defense, they played fine. They gave up three goals. And again, like I said, one of them being an empty netter at the end of the game. And so defense wasn't necessarily the focus then. They went 3-for-3 on the penalty kill, which was nice, a nice counter to the 0-for-6 on the power play. But the defense can only do so much and can only hold out for so long, especially with a talented offensive team like Boston. Braden Holtby, on a similar note, had a good night, saving 37 of 39 shots. Again, not present for that final goal by Marchand. And he had a really good history against the Bruins leading up to this game. There was a I think a few tweets on Twitter saying he was 18-4 against Boston before this game, obviously 18-5 now. But I think, you know, through these first two games and the two periods he played in New York and this full game he played in Boston, I think he's proving that he can still be a reliable number one goalie for an NHL team. And so it's nice. That's kind of one of the positives that you can take away from this game, that and Miro Heiskanen and a Luke Glendening goal. But other than that, not a whole lot of good to take away from this game in Boston. We'll see them again later in the season in Dallas. Hopefully we can get a different result then. Coming up next, we're going to break down some of the details from Sunday's game versus the Ottawa Senators. But before we do that, I want to take a moment and thank one of the sponsors of today's episode, and that is DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch all the games live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling the remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Moving on to this next segment of today's episode of Locked On Stars, your first listen of the day. I want to take a moment and break down some of the details from Dallas's matchup with the Ottawa Senators on Sunday afternoon. And I think this game went slightly better for Dallas. Obviously, losing 3-2 is not the result you wanted, especially against a team that I think many, including myself, I think Dallas is better than Ottawa. I think many people would say that Ottawa is kind of in the middle of a rebuilding and reestablishing themselves as a competitive team. And I think on paper, Dallas should have won this game. And maybe if you play this game again today or tomorrow, Dallas maybe does win this game. And of course, you know, we're missing guys. And this is the case for Boston too. I guess you could argue that, you know, John Klingberg, after going down on Thursday, he's out. Jason Robertson and Blake Como have yet to make appearances in the lineup this regular season, dealing with some upper body injuries. So hopefully those guys can all come back to the lineup soon. And the team chemistry can finally kind of be reestablished. And hopefully we can have these guys out on the ice together playing consistent minutes on their normal shifts. But overall, a little bit better game from Dallas. Again, the big issue, same with the Boston game and even a little bit of the New York game, is just Dallas's inability to create consistent offense. They started pretty well, scoring a goal 4.5 minutes into the game. Like I said earlier, I would talk about Michael Roffel. This is Michael Roffel's moment to shine. He notched his first goal as a Dallas Star off some nice passing from Radek Foxa and Alexander Radulov. Radulov really set him up well. Roffel was in a really good position in front of the net with not really a senator defending him. He was just kind of on his own in front of the goalkeeper. Radulov hits a nice pass. Roffel gets a nice one-timer into the goal. But unfortunately, we can't have nice things as Dallas Stars fans. There's no time for us to rest or breathe and say, my team has a lead. Because no more than 2 minutes later, Nick Paul of the Senators comes back down the ice and scores the equalizer for Ottawa on a nice backhanded goal. I'll give credit to him there. It was a nice shot by him and a shot that I didn't think was going to go in initially. But we just can't have nice things here as Dallas Stars fans. Our heart rates must be going at full speed at all times. No time for us to breathe. No time for us to rest. We must be stressed out the entire 90 minutes. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Ottawa also broke Dallas's perfect penalty kill clean slate of 100% effectiveness. It was going to happen eventually. Just unfortunate that it had to happen against Ottawa and not against Pittsburgh or maybe a little bit better of a team. Maybe Ottawa will surprise some people this year. Who knows? But not only did they shatter the perfection of Dallas's penalty kill, two of their goals were on the power play, both of them coming from Chris Tierney. It just unfortunate, especially one of those goals kind of coming off a weird, awkward bounce that just would have been really hard for anyone to save. And there was already a lot of bodies around the net. Hard to peg it all on Hudobin. He might could have made the save. It just took a really awkward bounce. But that's literally what this game came down to, was power plays. Ottawa went 2-for-3 on their power plays, and Dallas went 0-for-2. Obviously not as many opportunities as they had against Boston with 6. But still, whenever you have any power play opportunity, you must capitalize. Dallas had good looks. just couldn't connect, couldn't find the net. And we'll talk a little bit later about some of the reasons why I don't think they were connecting. But again, just Dallas being inefficient on offense and not really finding any rhythm whatsoever. Scoring early, nothing, and then a goal kind of at the end of the third period from Joe Pavelski. Part of it is just Dallas not really being able to keep the puck in their own zone. They just always seem to be in a rush, and they weren't doing a very good job of looking for quality shots. It just kind of seemed like they were playing as if it was like they were ending the game by pulling Hugh Domann out of the goal and having the man advantage, but it's almost like they were playing like that just without the extra man for most of the game, and that they were just trying as fast as they could to score without really looking for like high quality shots or high quality scoring opportunities. And a lot of the shots were coming from defensemen who were just kind of like hoping the puck would slip through, and they were like almost throwing the puck at the net. And just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because the times that Dallas did score was because Dallas players crashed the net and they put themselves in really good positions. Like I said, the first goal from Raffle was nice because Foxa and Radulov and Raffle and the rest of the Stars were kind of on a fast break, and they took a moment. Foxa hits Radulov. Radulov goes behind the net and hits Raffle, who'd positioned himself nicely. And it wasn't this weird like, oh, here's a shot from the blue line. I hope a guy gets a rebound, or I hope it slips past the goalkeeper because he's distracted by someone else. It was because there was nice passing and nice vision from the players and a nice setup, nice shot by Raffle, and that it worked. And then even at the end, Pavelski's goal kind of was a result of some puck movement and a lot of bodies around the net. Again, not really like a, oh, I hope this goes in off a ricochet or anything like that. Nice, a lot of bodies around the net, causing chaos, making life hard for the goalkeeper. And Pavelski gets a nice shot on goal, and it goes in. And those were two really good, high-quality scoring opportunities for Dallas, and they capitalized on it. And the rest of the game, it just wasn't that. There just seems to be a real sense of urgency that, to me, just didn't seem called for. But overall, there was a lot of more good things to take away from this game. Alexander Radulov, I think, had his best game of the young season. He had an assist, like I've talked about, two shots on goal, two takeaways, and he just moved really well. This was kind of the first game, I think, for him coming back where you could tell that his injury was gone, and I think he's kind of getting his legs back under him, as is the case with a lot of the guys coming back from injuries. And he just was giving good minutes to the team with his vision and just the offensive opportunities he helped provide to the team. And just his facilitation, positioning, he just kind of was doing it all and played a really solid game, if you ask me, and put out some really good, efficient minutes for Dallas. Dallas as a team did a lot better at forechecking this game. And for those of you who might not know, forechecking is basically when Dallas is in their offensive zone, or any team is in their offensive zone, it's how well they can get the puck back from the opposition. So like if they were to shoot or turn the puck over in their zone, you would try to, you know, in theory, get the puck back so you could get another offensive opportunity. And Dallas was a lot more aggressive at trying to keep the puck in their own zone, which I don't think they did a very good job in against New York, and especially not against Boston. But there was at least efforts made, and sometimes they were successful in keeping the puck in their zone and getting some offensive looks or keeping the possession going a little longer, which makes it harder for the opposition to change out their players. And so their guys get more tired, ergo better opportunities to score because you might catch the defense lacking. But Dallas made some better efforts on that, and still not perfect, still some improvements to be made there. But overall, there was at least kind of an effort made, which I don't think you could say that was the case in Boston. Anton Hudobin, I guess, kind of a positive. He had a fine day. He did okay. Two of the goals that he gave up, like I said, were on the power play. One of them, really funky bounce, really weird. Not a terrible game by any means. His first start of the season, and he played against New York. And so, everyone's just kind of trying to get their regular season legs under them. And so I think Hudobin will be fine as the number two goalie for now, or even if he has to step into a number one role, not too worried. I think he'll be okay. Just kind of some tough situations to play in, having to defend those power plays and then giving up two power play goals. But yeah, not a bad day for Anton Hudobin. We've definitely seen worse. We've seen better. Kind of an average day. Joe Pavelski did get his first goal of the season, as I mentioned. He's a guy that I feel like, though he was playing, he just kind of felt absent in the New York and the Boston games. And I think he's one of the guys that Dallas really needs to get going this season and hopefully kind of help kick the other guys into high gear. And so hopefully that is the case of what happened Sunday. The comeback fell short. Hopefully, you know, his momentum that he gained from that carries over, and hopefully some of the other guys on the offense duplicate that and do the same things. Another fun, I guess, positive, I don't know if positive is the right word for this, but Jamie Benn got into an actual fight, not just kind of a little scruffle. Like, he and Josh Brown like dropped gloves and like threw fists at each other, and Jamie Benn got a few good shots, and I think Brown got some in too. Don't know if there was a definitive winner. Both guys were still on their feet by the end of it. But it was cool to see. Rick Bowness has been challenging his team to show more aggression, especially some of, you know, the veteran guys like Benn. And so I think it was necessary that Benn needed to do that to get the guys fired up, and not long after, you know, Dallas scored a goal. And so hopefully that momentum and that fire kind of carries over as they go into Pittsburgh on Tuesday. And then another nice thing I saw, just to kind of put a positive bow on what I feel like has been two kind of negative segments. As much as I like to be a positive person, sometimes Dallas isn't going to play well, and I'm going to have to say negative things, and I'm going to have to be sad writing these rundowns. But there was a really cool video tweeted out by the NHL of Tyler Seguin giving some pucks to some young fans before he went back to the locker room after warmups. I just feel like hockey players are always so like stoic and emotionless at times. Not that they don't have emotions, I just don't think it's like as natural for them. Like, you see like NBA and NFL and even like some MLB guys, it's like their whole like persona in the game is just like based on their personality and how much like emotion they show, and like smiling all the time or laughing, cracking jokes. I just feel like that's not as much the case in hockey, or at least it's not shown as much to the public. But nice to see Tyler crack a smile and make some young kids' days. Really cool. So I think there was even some like Ottawa fans, some young kids from Ottawa that got some pucks, some Dallas Stars fans. So nice to see Tyler being a good guy, making the kids' day. But coming up next, we will talk about some adjustments that, based on what I've seen, I think the Dallas Stars can make to hopefully give themselves some better chances to win some of these games as the season goes on. But before we do that, I want to thank another sponsor of today's episode, and that is Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorite flavors. And those flavors that Built Bar has, they're all fantastic. They have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors yet and you feel overwhelmed by the amount that they have, don't worry, because Built Bar can hook you up. They'll send you two of each of the 9 flavors in the first box that you order, if you so choose to get more than one flavor in your first box. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories that range from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors that are all delicious, and they're all good for you. You can go to built.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And to close out today's episode of Locked On Stars, I just want to take a quick moment and kind of run through some things just based on what I've seen in these first 3 games from the Stars, of things that I think that if they're able to do these things or change these bad things per se, that they could improve their chances of winning. There's just some things I think they need to emphasize and work on, which I'm sure the coaching staffs are aware of this as well, because obviously I'm not a coach for the Dallas Stars. I just am the Locked On Stars podcast host. And so, but these are just some of the things I've seen that I'm sure the coaches have seen to an even greater degree, and have hopefully plans in place to help the Stars improve on these things as a team. But I think one of the biggest things is they just need to find a way to exit their zone better and more effectively. So far this season, Dallas has really struggled getting the puck out of their own zone, whether it's off a faceoff, which they win a lot of faceoffs, especially in the defensive zone, which is nice. But as I think it was Matthew DeFranks who writes for the Dallas Morning News for the Dallas Stars, he's like, it's nice that, you know, you can win defensive faceoffs, but it's only so nice if you can get the puck out of the zone, which the Stars just couldn't do. So whether it's off a faceoff or a takeaway or a block or, you know, what have you, Dallas just could not seem to effectively get the puck out of the zone, especially against Ottawa and even Boston a little bit. They just seem to be in a rush to make, you know, weird passes, bad passes, ill-advised passes that would, you know, would get turned over and result in Ottawa getting back on offense and having some shots on goal, or Boston getting, you know, goals in the net or a shot on goal. And so I think the Stars just would benefit a lot from slowing things down. Which is, I feel like it's just so contradictory to how the NHL is nowadays with a lot of young guys. Like, you see, your Connor McDavid's of the world, so quick and can able, you know, they move so fast and they score a lot of goals off fast breaks or breakaway goals. But I just don't think that that's going to be Dallas's strength just with the age on their team. They have some guys that can move really fast. They really do. Dennis Gurianov, Rupe Hintz, Jason Robertson. They have some young guys with some hop in their step. But they also have some older veterans that just aren't going to beat you with their speed. And I think Dallas's advantage is just vision on the ice and will be kind of finesse, if you will, of moving and being smart and sharp with their passes and their puck movement. And so I think that even carries over to the offensive side of the ice. We talked about a lot in the Ottawa game that there was just a lot of what seemed like desperation shots from the blue line from the defensemen. And if you look at the shots attempted, Miro Heiskanen had 5 on Sunday versus Ottawa. Esa Lindell had 4. Sekera, Hanley, and Hakanpää all shot 2 times, and Ryan Suter shot 1. And so I'm not saying that defensemen shouldn't shoot the puck at all, that we shouldn't be shooting from the blue line. There are certainly, you know, times and places for that to happen, you know, whether they have good luck or they are on the power play or, you know, the other team is struggling to get back and not set up. There's certainly a time and place for the defensive players to shoot from the blue line. But Dallas, I think, was just forcing the issue for no apparent reason, especially earlier in the game, like the second period. And the only other forwards with more than two shots were Joe Pavelski with 4 and Radek Foxa with 3. Pretty much every other forward was outshot by a defenseman, and even Miro Heiskanen outshot Joe Pavelski with 5 shots. And again, like, I'm fine with Miro Heiskanen shooting the puck because he can score, and you know, he's effective sometimes when he shoots. But just to have all of those guys shooting multiple times, everyone but Ryan Suter, and especially near the end of the game, it just was more and more frustrating that they were shooting the puck the way they were, not getting the results yet, continuing to do the same thing over and over and never really setting up the offense to like run plays or look for a high quality shot, because it's not like basketball. There's not a shot clock. In theory, you could keep the puck in the offensive zone the entire game if you could. That'd be really hard, but you could do it. There's not a time limit constraining you to that except for the actual game clock. So I just don't understand why Dallas doesn't take their time more and slow things down, because I think they could be really effective if they do. And I think we saw that with the 2 goals they scored against the Senators on Sunday. And of course, you could credit some of the offensive shortcomings, especially on Sunday's game, to Ottawa's defense or Boston's defense. But if you ask me, especially on Sunday's game, I think that the Senators were somewhat getting bailed out by Dallas, like essentially throwing the puck at the net, like I said, and just failing to set up the offense on every possession. You know, they get a steal or a takeaway and come down the ice, and it's like, okay, like, let the guys set up and look for a high, like, pass the puck around. They did this a lot in the preseason too. Like, they had some really high quality power play and even 5-on-5 looks. They didn't always connect, but they were getting really good shots on goal, which even if you don't score, I think it builds momentum and builds confidence for the team to get those really good looks. And they just weren't doing that these past 2 games. They seemed to be playing in desperation mode, even though there was no need to be, because there was plenty of time left. And so I all of this can be carried over 5-on-5, power play, 5-on-4, 5-on-3, even 3-on-3. We've only played in 1 overtime game this season, and they won that game. So that's one positive of being 1-2 so far, is our 1 win is an overtime win. But those are just kind of some of the things that I think Dallas can do better and work on. And hopefully, you know, the coaching staff and the team will talk about this today in preparation for Tuesday's game versus the Pittsburgh Penguins before they come home to play the home opener on Friday versus the Los Angeles Kings. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Stars. Tune in tomorrow for a preview of Tuesday night's game against the red hot Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh to close out this 4-game season opening road stretch. Going to be a really interesting matchup. Pittsburgh off to a really good start this season. So I'll give you the guys to watch out for, the matchups to look out for, keys to success for Dallas, and maybe Pittsburgh too. If I'm feeling nice, I'll talk about how they can win. But as of right now, I'll just say play the way that they've been playing in their other games, and they'll probably do just fine. But I'll give you some good insight on how Dallas can win this game as well. Thank you again for making Locked On Stars your first listen of the day. Now go make your second listen of the day, the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, with host Scott Cullen leaning in on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms. Be sure to subscribe to this show, Locked On Stars, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube as well. It's absolutely free, costs nothing. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Stars. You can also follow me on Twitter at Dane _Lewis. That's my first name, Dane, 2 underscores, and my last name, Lewis, LEWIS, on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for a Tuesday edition of Locked On Stars.